Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Mackie, and I will be reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram. County leaders okay election mailers. Brochure on tax election includes list of spending, ballot language, by Caitlin Randall. Midland County residents outside city limits will soon receive a mailer informing them about the county tax assistance district proposal that will be on the November ballot. If approved, sales tax in the county would be raised from 7% to 8.25%. County commissioners have said the additional revenue would be used to fund infrastructure projects. They've also said oil companies that operate in the county would be affected more than the residents. The commissioner's court approved mailing the brochure during a special meeting on Thursday. The county has not yet received a quote for the cost of printing the mailers, but commissioners said it would be under $50,000. The voters are not going to have a clue what the assistance district is or that this is even on the ballot, Commissioner Randy Prude said during the meeting. He said the mailer would let voters know there's going to be something on the ballot and they need to think about it. The brochure will be a one-page document stating the language that will appear on the ballot, according to a copy obtained by the Reporter Telegram. It also lists what the county is allowed to use the sales revenue for, including construction, maintenance, or improvement of roads and highways, provision of law enforcement and detention services, maintenance or improvement of libraries, museums, parks, or other recreational facilities, services that benefit. County Attorney Russell Malm said the county is not allowed to advocate for the development and tourism. The mailer does not say whether residents should vote for or against creating the assistance district. Proposal. The language in the brochure was previously approved by the Texas Ethics Commission when Nacogdoches County sent out a mailer about their tax assistance district, according to Malm. A motion to approve distributing the mailer to county residents passed 4-1, with Commissioner Scott Ramsey casting the dissenting vote. All that should be done by a PAC political action committee, Ramsey said. That's the job of the people who are out there advocating for it, not the county. Using county dollars to me is advocacy. Robin Donnelly said that he agreed the mailer should be distributed by a PAC, but because no committee exists, he said there was no other way to inform voters of the proposal. Whether we agree with it or not, it's just information that needs to go out, Commissioner Luis Sanchez said. Could treatment deter vaccines? Midland Memorial Hospital chief, relying on treatment is strange strategy. Officials at Midland Memorial Hospital were first in the Permian Basin in providing the monoclonal antibody treatment, months ahead of the treatment center set up in Odessa. Officials often remarked during their public information sessions, and did again on Thursday, about the treatment option for those who had become infected with COVID. In the past couple of months, monoclonal antibody treatments have been in the news. The New York Times reported that 70% of orders placed for doses of monoclonal antibodies came from 7 southern states, where governors frequently promote the costly treatment as part of their COVID-19 strategy. The newspaper showed orders jumped from 27,000 in July to 168,000 doses per week in late August. Deal seekers can enjoy Texas Size Garage Sale, by J.C. Lewis. Senior Life Midland is gearing up for the 32nd annual Texas Size Garage Sale benefiting Meals on Wheels. The sale will take place from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Saturday and Sunday in the nonprofit's 25,000-square-foot warehouse located at 407 East Scarborough Drive. The sale will feature everything from antiques to sporting goods to clothing and household goods. Volunteers have worked over the past year to sort, clean, and prepare for the event. The event is free to the public, and there will also be two additional dates, October 12th and October 14th. The Meals on Wheels program began in 1974 to reduce the number of elderly individuals suffering from hunger and malnutrition through home-delivered meals. Each weekday, 500 homebound seniors receive well-balanced, nutritious meals and a vital safety check from a trained volunteer. The proceeds from the Texas Size Garage Sale fund a third of these meals for the entire year. The Midland program helps to reduce the number of homebound, socially isolated elderly through important support services provided by Senior Life Midland. Donate to Marfa Public Radio for Chance to Win New Guitar by J.C. Lewis. Marfa Public Radio is hosting a fall membership drive. The nonprofit is allowing anyone who donates to the station this week to be entered to win a brand new Gibson LePaul Standard Electric Guitar. The $2,700 guitar comes in Heritage Cherry Sunburst with a mahogany body, maple top, rosewood fingerboard with trapezoid inlays, Gibson burst bucker, pickups, vintage design, and it's right-handed. It also comes with a sturdy Gibson travel case and certificate of authenticity from the manufacturer. Sustaining members and those who have already given to the station during the fall membership drive are already entered to win and do not have to do anything. Those who would like to enter to win but can't donate currently can email love@marfa-publicradio.org and enter the raffle by stating why they listen to Marfa Public Radio. The fall membership drive lasts until Friday. Supporters can choose between the Marfa, Alpine, Marathon, and Presidio stations or the Midland-Odessa station to send donations. To donate, visit https://marfapublicradio.org/donate/. Fix West Texas awarded $12,000 grand prize by J.C. Lewis. Fix West Texas is being awarded a $12,000 grant as a grand prize recipient of Fresh Pets annual Fresh Start program for the Southwest. The nonprofit plans to use the funds to provide spay, neuter, and vaccination for cats that are surrendered to them and need to be adopted, according to a press release. This makes it easier to adopt cats out in the community, control the pet population, and help keep cats healthy in the coming years. Fix West Texas has rescued, neutered, vaccinated, and rehomed 491 cats this year at an average cost of $50 per cat. The $12,000 grant will allow the nonprofit to save 240 more homeless cats in the community. Fresh Pets Program has awarded more than $100,000 in contributions in the past 3 years. This year, Fresh Start awarded $12,000 grants to shelters across 5 regions in the U.S. and recognized 2 runner-up organizations in each region with $3,000 each. Small Bites, Taste of the Permian Basin Rescheduled by J.C. Lewis. The Permian Basin Restaurant Association announced the rescheduling of the 37th annual Taste of the Permian Basin. PBRA is a chapter of the Texas Restaurant Association. The event is now scheduled to be held from 6:30 to 8 p.m. on March 31st at the Bush Convention Center. Participating vendors include Tin Sports Bar and Grill, Culligan Water, Gerardo's Casita, Johnny's Barbecue, La Margarita Mexican, Mulberry Cafe, Rockin' Q Smokehouse, Rosa's Cafe, Taco Villa, and the legendary Barn Door Steakhouse. Partial proceeds from the event will benefit the culinary arts programs at ECISD and MISD and the Texas Restaurant Foundation. The event is one of West Texas' longest-running tasting events and will feature culinary delights from more than 30 local restaurants. To purchase tickets and table sponsorships, visit tastethebasin.com. Tickets are $40 in advance or $50 at the door. The event was rescheduled in the best interest of the community amid health concerns voiced by hospital officials. President of PBRA, Jerry Morales, stated in the press release. The Bites. Coffee for a Cure takes place October 22nd at the Human Bean in Midland and Odessa. It was stated that 100% of beverage and food sales will be donated locally to help with preventative care, education, and to support patients going through treatment. Pooches on the Patio Spooktacular is set for 5 to 11:30 p.m. on October 28th at Rooster's Diner. Hang out on the patio and bring dogs dressed to impress during the costume contest. The winner will get a $100 Visa gift card. Get bottomless bowls during the month of October at Genghis Grill. Guests can try as many flavor combinations as they want, including the brand's new Brussels sprouts and carne asada. Midland's Genghis Grill is located at 4517 North Midkift Road and is open 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Sunday through Thursday and 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. Friday and Saturday. Obituaries. Donald Merritt. After a full life of more than 95 years, Donald Gordon Merritt passed away peacefully, surrounded in love by his children, reunited with his wife, Joanne Merritt, on October 5, 2021. He was born to Jack and Hattie Merritt on March 28, 1926, in Snyder, Texas. In his youth, Don, along with his father, mother, and three younger siblings, moved to Midland, Texas, where Don lived and worked on the Slim O'Neill Dairy Farm. Before graduating from high school, Don joined the U.S. Navy, serving in World War II on the USS Texas from 1944 to 1946. Upon his return, he married the love of his life, Joanne Williams Merritt, on February 28, 1947, and was devoted to her nearly 70 years before Joanne's passing in 2016. The couple raised four children, Wayne, John, Virginia, and Gary, while Don worked for Phillips Petroleum Company about 40 years. Don lovingly handcrafted unique toys and backyard entertainment still enjoyed by great-grandchildren. Upon his retirement, he and Joanne became avid bird and butterfly watchers, as well as experts on the Texas horned lizard and all manner of flora and fauna. The couple were active within the Midland Naturalist Group and were longtime members of the Midland Sibley Center. Don and Joanne spent countless hours exploring the Midland countryside, taking thousands upon thousands of pictures and sharing their passion for nature with both the young and the old. Don is survived by his four children and their spouses, as well as 9 grandchildren and 14 great-grandchildren. Don will be greatly missed by all who knew him. He was the pillar of his family, exuding a quiet, confident manner. He was hardworking, kind, and never met a stranger. The family and Don would like to give a special thank you to the Midland Memorial Hospital nurse, Victoria, who cared for Don during his final days. Her care and thoughtfulness were a comfort to Don and his family. A memorial is scheduled for 9 a.m. on Saturday, October the 9th, 2021, at Merritt Pavilion in the I-20 Wildlife Reserve in Midland, Texas. Dress is birdwatcher chic, a.k.a. casual. For those who prefer to be seated, please bring a chair. In lieu of flowers, please consider a donation to the I-20 Wildlife Preserve or your favorite charity. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally, Pickle, and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Death notices. Shauna Hawk Moran died October 2nd, 2021. Memorial service will be Monday, October 18th, 2021 at 11:30 a.m. at Living Way Church, Midland, Texas. full obituary is forthcoming. Sue Barrett. Carol Sue Barrett, 85, of Midland, Texas, passed away on Thursday, September 30, 2021. A memorial service will take place at 10 a.m. at First Baptist Church Chapel, Thursday, October 14, 2021. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
This is the Odessa American for Friday, October 8, 2021. New County Attorney Appointed. The Ector County Commissioner's Court on Thursday approved the resignation of County Attorney Gregory Barber and then voted to replace him with Attorney Lee McClendon, who has worked in the county's legal department for nearly two decades. Barber, who was elected to the four-year county attorney position in November, is stepping down after less than 1 year to assume a new role as Assistant District Attorney for the county. McClendon will have to run for the county attorney position next year if he wishes to retain the job. Judge Debbie Hayes praised McClendon and Barber and said the county is fortunate to have both men continue to serve the county. Quote, I'm honored for the opportunity to serve as county attorney, end quote, McClendon said. Quote, I've had the opportunity to serve the county in a number of positions, end quote. A 1981 Permian High School graduate, McClendon earned a doctorate of jurisprudence from University of Texas of Austin in 1986. After going into private practice for several years, McClendon was hired as a prosecutor by the Ector County District Attorney's Office in 2003, where he handled felony cases. Since 2013, he has handled misdemeanor cases for the county. The state legislature in September approved a long-expected change that now places all misdemeanors and juvenile and child protective services cases under the jurisdiction of Dwight Richard Dusty Gallivan, who was elected Ector County District Attorney last year. Those responsibilities, along with civil cases, previously belonged to county attorney. Quote, it was a difficult decision, but I think it's in the best interest for me and the county that I resign and accept the position with the DA, end quote. Light, camera, action. Wait until dark on stage at Permian Playhouse. Making her directing debut, Michaela Grenier will helm Wait Until Dark at the Permian Playhouse starting Friday. Dates are October 8th, 9th, and 10th, and October 15th, 16th, and 17th. Evening performances on Friday and Saturday are at 7:30 p.m., and Sunday matinees are at 2:30 p.m. Tickets are $11 and may be purchased at the box office or online, Grenier said. The cast includes six actors, including Eden Butler, who portrays lead character Susan Hendricks. There was a movie by the same name starring Audrey Hepburn that was adapted from a 1966 play. According to Rotten Tomatoes in the movie, Sam Hendricks returns home after a flight with a doll he has gotten. The doll is stuffed with heroin, and a group of criminals led by Rote has followed Hendricks back to his place to retrieve it. Quote, when Hendricks leaves for business, the crooks make their move and find his blind wife, Susie, Audrey Hepburn, alone in the apartment, end quote, the site said. Quote, soon a life-threatening game begins between Susie and the thugs, end quote, the site said. Grenier said they have been working on the play for 7 or 8 weeks. They took a week off for Grenier to get married. Grenier said she was introduced to the movie by a theater teacher her senior year in high school, and she fell in love with it. She dedicated the play to that teacher. Quote, I thought it was incredible. I've got a great story. It's got a great story. It's really a true thriller. It's got lots of suspense. It's amazing, end quote, Grenier said. She added that it has always been in the back of her mind to do Wait Until Dark. Quote, the Playhouse put it in their season, and they approached me about directing it, end quote, Grenier said. Quote, everything just lined up perfectly. Directing her first production has been a thrilling experience for her. Quote, it's been amazing to work with my actors and to really watch them breathe life into this show. It already had a special place in my heart. It's just been an experience that I will never forget, and it's 100% because of the cast and the crew, end quote. Grenier said 30 people auditioned, and it was hard to choose the cast. She added that she didn't think many people would turn out for tryouts because the play wasn't very well known. Quote, everybody that came out was super talented and so amazing. It was just about getting the right people on stage together, looking for chemistry, trying to figure out who reads well. The biggest part is finding that lead actress. So Eden, she's on stage almost the entire time. She is playing a character who's blind, so obviously that person has to be exactly right. They have to be able to hold up the show, essentially, and also be an incredible actress. Once we figured out who our Susan was, we were able to pin everybody else into place, end quote, Grenier added. Grenier said she was at Odessa College for 2 years and earned a bachelor's degree in musical theater from West Texas A&M University. She taught at Permian High School and is now at Bowie Middle School, starting a theater program. Butler, who plays Susan Hendricks, said she had done one production prior to this one called Almost Maine. That debuted in 2018, but she was in quite a few plays before that as part of Odessa College's theater program. Theater was her major there. Susan is the main focus of Wait Until Dark, and she's trying to navigate through everything, figuring out how is who and what is what. Quote, I'm very excited with the way everything has gone so far. I was very thankful to be cast in the show, end quote, Butler said. Quote, Michaela is a wonderful director. She's done an amazing and phenomenal job with everybody. We look up to her so much, but honestly, I think the show is going to be quite wonderful, end quote. Quote, we hit a couple of snags. That's not any different than any other show. I think it's going to be a really wonderful show. A lot of the cast has worked really hard and given up a lot of their free time in order to be there. Everybody's got jobs, school, all that, but I think through this process, we've all come together and created something that's going to be worth watching, end quote, Butler added. When she's not performing in plays, Butler is a legal assistant in Odessa with Bailey and Gallion Attorneys at Law. She plans to go back to school to earn a paralegal certification. Quote, it's been a wonderful process getting to work with everyone so closely. Initially, I was a little nervous about it. I haven't done any shows probably since 2019, end quote, when she was in A Doll's House at OC, Butler said. She added that returning to acting has been wonderful. Butler said she has been involved in many productions over the years as part of the cast and crew and would like to take part more often. She noted that she has a really good support system. Quote, I enjoy the process from start to finish, no matter what position I'm in. For me, it's just something really enjoyable to be a part of. I love going through that process and trying to work through all the kinks to get where we need to be. So I would definitely consider doing shows again if I have the time in between work and school, end quote, Butler said. Longtime university project completed. It took 6 years to complete, but University Boulevard from Andrews Highway to Grandview Avenue is now broader, smoother, and safer, Odessa city officials say. But it wasn't an easy path to get there. It also took about $16 million total to complete. Quote, initially, we thought we'd design and start building it, end quote, Traffic Operations Superintendent Hal Feldman said. Quote, it didn't quite work out that way, end quote. Quote, the purpose of the project was to broaden university from 4 to 5 lanes, end quote, Feldman said about the city's first major road project in more than 2 decades. But city officials quickly realized there wasn't enough room to expand the lanes. That discovery forced the city to purchase and remove 7 houses and 1 commercial building to make room for the project. Another 64 property easements were also required. The city also had to work with various utility companies and even the fire department to remove and relocate fire hydrants, telephone poles, power lines, and even street signs. Despite what turned out to be a bigger undertaking than anticipated, city officials, residents, and many motorists have expressed both relief and satisfaction with how the project turned out, Feldman said. Since the project's September 23rd completion, the city has received many calls and compliments about the improved corridor boasting sidewalks on both sides of the street, Feldman said. Quote, it's really improved the traffic flow and made the road safer to travel, end quote, Feldman said. The most noticeable improvements are the addition of a new turn lane and traffic signal near the YMCA at Maple Avenue. A once prominent sharp curve has also been significantly straightened out. The creation of 5 bus turnouts and 2 signalized road crossings for pedestrians were also included in the project. Quote, one of the problems we had is university has so many access points, end quote, Feldman said. Quote, we tried to improve the flow by closing 3 side streets to eliminate some conflict points, end quote. Quick hits. Concert. The Mavericks have been scheduled to perform at 8 p.m. Sunday at the Wagner Knoll Performing Arts Center, 1310 North FM 1788 Midland. Doors open at 7 p.m. For tickets or information, wagnerknoll.com. Halloween. Downtown Odessa, Inc. has scheduled Halloween activities, Scavenger Hunt, October 22nd through 30th, and Trunk O' Treat, October 30th, downtown Odessa. The hunt participants will get to collect points for a chance to win prizes. The Trunk O' Treat will take place from 4 p.m. to 8 p.m. October 30th. Movie in the Park will begin at 8 p.m. More hunt details will be released closer to the event. For businesses who would like to participate, register online at form.jotform.com/212-744-8277-60158. For more information, call 432 1-335-4682 or email amoulakis@odessatexas.gov. Spooktacular Drive-Thru. The Ector County Library and Friends has scheduled a spooktacular drive-thru from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. October 30th at the library parking lot. Enter at 4th Street and Lee Avenue. Free treats will be given out. Visit facebook.com/Ector County Library or ector.lib.tx.us. From staff reports, ECISD hosts 100th celebration at Crosstown Rivalry Football Game. The Crosstown Rivalry Football Game between Odessa High School and Permian High School is always one of the community's biggest events of the year. It gets even bigger this year as Ector County ISD celebrates its 100th birthday with a tailgate party and concert by the Grammy Award-winning performers, the Gatlin Brothers. Larry, Steve, and Rudy Gatlin grew up in Odessa and are graduates of Odessa High School. In addition to the tailgating that normally takes place at the game, food trucks will be on site and the choirs from OHS and PHS will sing as the opening act before the Gatlin Brothers take the stage. The gates to Ratliff Stadium will open at 4:30 p.m. today, Friday. The show begins at 5:20, with the Gatlin Brothers scheduled to perform around 6 p.m. The football game kicks off at 7 p.m. School district leaders strongly encourage all fans to arrive early. Few seats remain, and the game is likely to be a sellout. Construction on the intersection of East Loop 338 and Yukon Road near the stadium complex is also likely to cause longer lines getting into and out of the stadium. Odessa High School is visiting team this year, and fans will sit on the east side of the stadium. Permian fans are on the west side of the stadium. Additionally, the concert and food trucks will be set up in the southwest corner of the stadium parking lot, meaning a number of parking spots will not be available this year. Each school's buses will be parked in the northeast corner of the stadium parking lot, which will reduce the number of parking spaces in that area. Fans should carpool to the game if at all possible. Fix West Texas receives $12,000 grant. Fix West Texas is being awarded with a $12,000 grant as the grand prize recipient of Fresh Pets Annual Fresh Start Program of the Southwest, a press release detailed. The press release continues to detail that Fix West Texas plans to use the $12,000 to provide spay, neuter, and vaccination to cats who are surrendered to them and need to be adopted. This makes them easier to adopt out in the community, controls the pet population, and helps keep the cats healthy in the coming years. Fix West Texas has reportedly rescued, neutered, vaccinated, and rehomed 491 cats this year at an average cost of $50 per cat. That means the $12,000 will allow them to save 240 more homeless cats in their community. Fix West Texas was one hundreds of shelters nominated for a Fresh Start grant, the press release stated. Winners were chosen by online votes. The Fresh Start program was created in 2018 to provide support for overlooked cats and dogs who are often deemed unadoptable. Fresh Pets Fresh Start program has awarded more than $100,000 in contributions in the past 3 years. This year, Fresh Start is awarding $12,000 grants to shelters across 5 regions in the U.S. and will recognize 2 runner-up organizations in each region with $3,000 each. One shelter from each region will also be awarded with a $3,000 Wonder Dog grant. Man charged with pointing firearm at undercover cops. A 36-year-old man was arrested after he reportedly pointed a firearm at 2 undercover police officers in an unmarked police vehicle. Jose Macias Jr. was charged with 2 counts of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony. The reported incident happened at 1:05 p.m. October 6th in the 2300 block of West 2nd Street, an Odessa Police Department probable cause affidavit stated. Officers were traveling east in an unmarked police vehicle while en route to an unrelated location for an assignment. As officers began to approach the rear of a white 1991 Chevy 3500, they reportedly saw the driver speed up quickly and heard his engine accelerate. Officers continued at their original same speed as the Chevy 3500 slowed down. When officers got next to the Chevy 3500, officers saw a Hispanic man in the driver's seat, the affidavit stated. The man was later identified as Macias. As the officers continued past Macias on the left, Macias looked over to the plainclothes officers and nodded his head, while at the same time making a movement toward the driver's side door compartment. As Macias's hand reappeared, the officers reportedly saw him holding a black semi-automatic-looking pistol as he hung it out the window with the barrel pointed toward the officer's vehicle. The officers broadcasted the information over the radio, and units were able to get the Chevy 3500 stopped east of the South County Road West and Interstate 20 South Service Road, the affidavit detailed. After being read his Miranda rights, Macias reportedly said something similar to, quote, "That was the dumbest thing I've done in my entire life," end quote. Macias was arrested, charged, and transported to the Ector County Law Enforcement Center. He has two bonds totaling $100,000, and he was still in custody as of Thursday afternoon, jail records show. MCH earns 2021 Chime Digital Health Most Wired recognition. The College of Healthcare Information Management Executives, CHIME, has announced that Medical Center Hospital has earned 2021 CHIME Digital Health Most Wired recognition as a certified acute level 8 and ambulatory level 7. The CHIME Digital Health Most Wired program conducts an annual survey to assess how effectively healthcare organizations apply core and advanced technologies into their clinical and business programs to improve health and care in their communities. Quote, "Our IT team are some of the biggest unsung heroes of the past 2 years," end quote, said Russell Tippin, president and CEO, Medical Center Health System. Quote, "Their dedication and ability to adapt and improve our information technology systems throughout this pandemic has been nothing short of remarkable. In the ever-changing landscape of healthcare, it is vital to have an IT team as dedicated as the one at MCH," end quote. The surveys assessed the adoption, integration, and impact of technologies in healthcare organizations at all stages of development, from early development to industry leading. Each participating organization received a customized benchmarking report, an overall score, and scores for individual levels in 8 segments: infrastructure, security, business/disaster recovery, administrative/supply chain, analytics/data management, interoperability/population health, patient engagement, and clinical quality/safety. Participants can use the report and scores to identify strengths and opportunities for improvement. Participants also receive certification based on their overall performance, with level 10 being the highest. Quote, "Digital transformation in healthcare has accelerated to an unprecedented level since 2020. In the next few years, we'll bring a wave of innovation that empowers healthcare consumers and will astound the industry," end quote, said Chime President and CEO Russell P. Branzel. Quote, "The Digital Health Most Wired program recognizes the outstanding digital leaders who have paved the way for this imminent revolution in healthcare. Their trailblazing commitment to rapid transformation has set an example for the entire industry in how to pursue a leadership vision with determination, brilliant planning, and courage to overcome all challenges," end quote. Opportunity Odessa asks community to take survey. A press release detailed that Opportunity Odessa, a nonpartisan, community-driven initiative funded without tax dollars by Grow Odessa, is preparing a community vision and investment strategy. As part of this process, all stakeholders in the community are invited to participate in a brief survey. Your input will help guide the community's growth and prosperity over the coming years. What is most important to you? Better roads, better schools, access to sports facilities, improving public safety, all of the above, or something else? The link to complete the questionnaire is opportunityodessa.com. The survey is completely confidential. No identifying information is collected, and the results of the survey will be provided in aggregate only. The survey will remain open until October 22nd, so please respond before that time. Project to start on Highway 191 near West Loop 250. Work is scheduled to begin later this month on a project to, quote, reverse, end quote, relocate ramps, add some auxiliary lanes, and rehabilitate some roadway on Highway 191 and West Loop 250, a Texas Department of Transportation press release stated. The most notable part of the project will move the eastbound Highway 191 exit ramp further west. Known as a braided ramp, the new off-ramp will go over the existing on-ramp. The project is expected to be completed in mid-2023. Jones Brothers Dirt and Paving of Odessa won the project with a low bid of a little more than $18.2 million. Ramp reversals are also called for in 3 locations as part of the project. The ramp reversals will occur on westbound Highway 191 between West Loop 250 and Highway 158, as well as on both service roads of West Loop 250 between Wadley Avenue and Highway 191. The current entrance ramp locations will become exit ramp locations. Likewise, the current exit ramp locations will become entrance ramp locations. The ramp reconfigurations will eliminate some merging conflict points and will also allow more room for queuing on the service road. Other work scheduled in the project involves intersection improvements at the mid-level interchanges of Highway 191 and Loop 250. In addition to some auxiliary lanes to provide more capacity, the intersections will be built with full-depth concrete pavement to better handle wear and tear from traffic. The roads at the signalized intersections at Highway 158 under the Highway 191 overpass will also be rebuilt. A reduced speed limit will be in place in work areas. Motorists are asked to slow down when driving in work zones. Motorists are also reminded that state law requires them to obey any warning signs, flaggers, and pilot cars encountered in the work zone. TxDOT wants everyone, motorists, contractor employees, and TxDOT staff, to go home safely every day. The first stage of work scheduled to start the week of October 11th will involve widening the shoulders on Highway 191 service roads in both directions from the overpass at Highway 158 to Loop 250. Work will take place on the outside lanes of both service roads in this early stage. UTPB holds in-person job fair. With labor shortages hampering most industries, school districts, universities, energy companies, and local businesses turned out Thursday for the University of Texas Permian Basin job fair. Held in the UTPB gym, it attracted about 36 companies. Director of Career Education Maribee Merritt said 100 students registered for the fair, but more were coming in. This is the first job fair UTPB has been able to have in person in at least a year. They have had virtual events. Quote, I think we're still kind of suffering because we still have companies that aren't allowed to travel. There are still restrictions on that, end quote, Merritt said. She added that it's better for the students to have the fair in person. Quote, it's a more personal feel to be able to go and visit, look somebody in the face and speak to them than being over a computer. It's just not as personal, even though you can still see them, end quote, Merritt said. Woodrow Bailey, Chief of Human Capital Management for Midland ISD, said they are looking for people in information systems, finance. Quote, the district has many organizations, many companies within itself, so we'll have a wide variety, end quote, Bailey said. Sharon Amaya, principal at Lanao and Fort Stockton for Windham School District, based in Huntsville, said they have many different campuses statewide within the Texas Department of Criminal Justice. Quote, we are looking for certified teachers, but also teachers who have a trade, plumbing, carpentry, restaurant management, and we also have part-time retired teachers. The salary is very good, end quote, Amaya said. She added that it is competitive salary-wise with other public schools, and Windham is public as well by the Texas Education Agency. In Fort Stockton, Amaya said there are three full-time teaching positions. Academic teachers have to be certified. John Lindemann, a sophomore studying business management, said he was looking for internships to get a leg up for when he graduates in 2024. Ector County ISD was also on hand looking for people for positions district-wide in transportation, school nutrition, substitute teaching, and teaching. There were areas set aside for interviews as well. Sviash Khand, a master's student in mechanical engineering, moved here from Idaho State University. Quote, I've been looking for internship opportunities because during my undergrad, I was not able to get my hands in the field, end quote, Khan said. He added that his is a new place for him. Quote, there are tons of opportunities, end quote, he said. He added that he wanted to see if there were any companies taking full or part-time interns. Laureen Nagatu Nagam, who will graduate in December in chemical engineering, said she got to talk to three or four companies. She likes the engineering program at UTPB because she came from a larger school. Quote, I actually like the teachers here. They're really helpful. They care, and there's a lot of research opportunities. I had the chance to do research while I was here last summer, and I just feel like all the teachers really care. It is very different from where I was before coming here. So I'm actually glad I made the switch to transfer here, end quote. Nagatu Nagam said. City sales tax revenue up $378,564.04. The city of Odessa recently received its October sales tax check in the amount of $4,359,251.21. This amount includes the economic development sales tax of a quarter cent. The city of Odessa will receive $3,487,400.97, and the Odessa Development Corporation will receive $871,850.24. The city saw an increase in sales tax revenue, with October's sales tax revenue total of $3,487,497, which reflects a $378,564.04, or 12.18% increase, as compared to October 2020. The Ector County Hospital District received $3,421,981. The 2020-21 year-to-date amount is up 25.49%, or $708,415.42, as compared to budgeted amount expected at this point in the fiscal year. The city has budgeted $37,500,000 in net sales tax revenues for this current fiscal year. Sales tax revenue is generated by sales tax revenue from 2 months prior to collection, i.e., October's collection is based on August sales. Obituary. Jack N. Watkins. Odessa. Jack was born April 13, 1934, in Lubbock to Williams and Winnie Watkins. He passed from this life October 4, 2021. He was preceded in death by his parents, brother Wayne Watkins, and his oldest son, Jack D. Watkins. Jack left his bride of 68 years, Velma Jane Watkins, James Lee and Dot Watkins of San Angelo, Gary and Vicky Watkins of Odessa, Jeremy and Tracy Watkins of Odessa, Ember Ann Mackenzie Smith of Riverside, California, Michael Watkins of Austin, Shelby Watkins of Odessa, and Gemma Watkins of Andrews, Billy and Karen Watkins and Jim and Sandy Rogers of Lubbock, and a niece and numerous nephews. The family will receive friends for visitation on Friday, October 8, 2021, from 6 to 8 p.m. at Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home. Services will be Saturday, October 9, 2021, at 3 p.m. at Calvary Baptist Church, followed by interment at Sunset Memorial Gardens. Ember Smith, Rob Teekle, Rick New, David Lindsay, Lorenzo Rivas, and Robert Rhodes will serve as pallbearers. Buck Wilcox and James Macy are honorary pallbearers. Death notices. Manuela Reyes Brito, Odessa. Manuela Reyes Brito, 63, died Tuesday, October 5th, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Odessa Funeral Home of Odessa. Patricia Glenn, Plano. Patricia Glenn, 72, of Midland, died Tuesday, September 21st, 2021, in Plano. Celebration of life will be held at 3 p.m., October 11th, 2021, at Sunset Memorial Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home of Odessa. Mary Lorraine Jones, Odessa. Mary Lorraine Jones, 83, died Tuesday, October 5th, 2021, in Odessa. Services are pending with Hubbard Kelly Funeral Home of Odessa. Martha Ann Morris Phillips, Dallas. Martha Ann Morris Phillips, 85, of Dallas, died Monday, September 27th, 2021, in Dallas. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Diana Zamora Zapata, Odessa. Diana Zamora Zapata, 52, of Odessa, died Thursday, September 30th, 2021, in Odessa. No services have been scheduled. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram. Few points. Ross Schumann, District 1 candidate. Allow new voices to solve city issues. Our city's infrastructure is fatiguing and failing. There is no way around that basic fact. It is disappointing that we have gotten to this point and that our city leaders have ignored the problem for this long. Since 2014, our city's infrastructure has gone from a score of 74 of 100 when assessed to a 66 of 100 in 2020. Despite a large infusion of taxpayer money with the $100 million bond measure us taxpayers agreed to, the city's infrastructure has gotten worse over that time. Simply, we need more than a few road patches or upgrades. In large areas of the city, we need complete overhauls to our sewers, water systems, and roads. This means a massive amount of work and time our city will have to undertake to get us back to even average. Would you accept a contractor building your roof before they poured the foundation? Of course, you would not. It doesn't take a skilled craftsman to know that homes are built from the ground up, and that's what we should do with our city. It is time for us to demand city leaders who will commit to taking the steps necessary to repair our roads and infrastructure. We need upgraded flood drainage, new roads, new sewers, and drastically upgraded water lines. When you put off maintaining your vehicle, you can save some money in the short term, but ultimately end up costing yourself a lot more later. Over the past 20 years, that is exactly what our city has done with our infrastructure, completely ignoring the issues we have, refusing to do anything other than the absolute necessary maintenance, essentially placing duct tape over a leaking radiator line and hoping to get another 100,000 miles. As your city councilman, I pledge to do what my predecessor has not, to focus on the foundation of our city first, ensuring our roads and infrastructure, as well as our police and fire departments, are fully funded before we look to fund other projects. We cannot continue to build on a bad foundation. We must repair our city and get our city ready for the next generation to take over. It is time for us to commit to doing what is necessary to getting these projects complete. And unfortunately, that will mean foregoing some other projects for a time to ensure we have that funding necessary to do so. We must recognize that if we want to see a difference, we cannot continue to elect the same leaders who for decades have overseen our city's degradation and instead bring in new leadership that will prioritize the projects our city so desperately needs. As a project manager, I understand the need for our city to not only direct funds to these projects, but ensure they are managed correctly to be completed on time and on budget. It is not enough to simply throw more money at the problem. We must also ensure our money is being spent efficiently and effectively. We must make sure our engineering team has adequate personnel and supplies to complete their jobs, and city leaders willing to help manage these projects from start to finish. When I served in the Army Corps of Engineers, our motto was Essayons. In French, that translates as Let Us Try. This isn't a sympathetic, half-hearted try. It's a statement of confidence, as almost if to say, where others failed, we will succeed. This is what I ask of you, to give me the opportunity to succeed where others have failed. To give a new voice a chance to present ideas, to innovate and commit to our success. Our city is worthy of being the best in the nation. Our citizens deserving to live in a city with great roads and parks, the best fire and police departments, and drainage systems that don't leave our main city streets impassable as we saw a few months ago. They deserve to know that they will not face issues with their water or sewer systems causing damage to their homes or leaving them searching for clean drinking water. Please, if you are ready to see your tax money go to improving conditions in your city, commit to voting for those who will ensure that finally occurs. Commit to asking those who have had decades to improve our city and its infrastructure but have not done so to allow new voices and ideas to come forward to solve the problem. I humbly ask you to consider voting for Ross Schumann, candidate for Midland City Council, District 1. Together, we can work to improve our city, from the foundation up. Scott Dufford, District 1 candidate. Midland in position to accomplish more. So, before I begin to answer the question put to all the candidates by the MRT, how we, as a city, move forward with the aged infrastructure in the community and how we pay for it, I thought I first might recap where we've been and what we have accomplished since the successful $100 million road bond passed in 2017. I also will briefly discuss our future infrastructure plans moving forward. I'll start the conversation by addressing roadways, first followed by water, sewer, and stormwater drainage. My list will not be exhaustive or extensive, but will include the most noticeable projects over the course of the next few years. I hope this discussion will give our citizens a glimpse of what we are doing as a city to improve our infrastructure and quality of place. We have fully completed 15 of 26 projects, 7 currently are under construction, and the remaining 4 roadways are out to bid with construction starting in 2022. With few exceptions, most projects have been completed on time and under budget. Other roadway projects completed recently, not included in the road bond, include the construction of Tradewinds Boulevard and Fairgrounds Road, Mockingbird Lane to Occidental Parkway. And yes, we have had our fair share of setbacks, such as the emergency reconstruction of Golf Course Road and Midkiff, delays in the relocation of utilities in advance of our projects, extreme cold, lots of rain, not complaining, and the loss of three engineers from our capital projects team supported within the Midland Development Corps, MDC. But we are moving forward and getting it done as promised. Funded street projects also not included in the 2017 bond are the Compass Program, continuation of paving all unpaved neighborhood streets, alleys, and sidewalks throughout the city, rehabbing of Industrial Avenue, Loop 250 to Midkiff Road, in partnership with the county, Fairgrounds Road Extension, Loop 250 to Mockingbird Lane, Fort Worth Avenue Total Reconstruction, Summit Avenue to Gist Avenue, and Benton Street Total Reconstruction, Indiana Avenue to California Avenue. Unfunded but planned future roadway projects over the course of the next 3 years include additional Compass projects throughout the city, the Wadley Avenue Extension, Callaway Drive to State Highway 158, Wadley Avenue Reconstruction, Garfield to I Street, Golf Course Road Reconstruction, Andrews Highway to Scarborough Drive, Todd Drive Reconstruction and Widening, Business 20 to Golf Course Road, and Briarwood Avenue Reconstruction and Widening, State Highway 158 to Avalon. Water and sewer plans include what we are doing to upgrade since we successfully formed a public-private partnership with Pioneer Natural Resources, having spent $133 million on upgrades and improvements to our sewer treatment plant, benefiting both the city and Pioneer. On the water side, we will finish construction in August 2022 to our Northeast water system, which includes a new pump station at our water plant and 10.5 miles of pipe in the ground to our elevated storage facility located in Northeast Midland. This will improve the water pressure to those of us living in East Midland. We will this year start the design phase of combining water sources at the Peggy Sioux Reservoir for water quality upgrades. In 2022, we will start the replacement of our old 4-inch cast iron lines to 6-inch PVC pipe throughout the city. The process will take 10 years with our initial focus in Old and Southeast Midland. Also starting in 2022, we will upgrade our pumping capabilities at Paul Davis Waterfield, located north of town. Our Paul Davis Waterfield is our city's emergency water source. These projects are all in the immediate and near term. Long term, we will be working with the CRMWD, along with the cities of Abilene and San Angelo, to ensure that we have adequate water resources to meet our water needs for Midland's future generations. We anticipate restructuring our T-Bar Ranch water field debt in 2027 to ready our city for another possible $200 million bond issuance in 2029 or 2030 to fund and develop our Fort Stockton water supply. Planned sewer upgrades include finishing the design and starting construction of the Northeast Wastewater Main Pipeline in early 2022, removing three maintenance-intense problems with our lift stations changing over to gravity systems. Also starting in 2022, we will start the replacement of the precast concrete manholes that will be a four-year project. In 2023, we will start the process to replace and rehab our large sewer lines entering the water reclamation plant, finishing in 2025. The stormwater runoff program includes the purchase of 35 acres for future drainage. Improvements and design work is underway for improvements along Jowl Draw, Midland Draw, and Manor Park that will help alleviate flooding issues that occasionally occur in areas throughout our city. So, back to original question asked by the MRT. How does the city pay for all of these projects over the short term, and in some cases the long term, to continue to improve our infrastructure and quality of place for all Midlanders? Here's my answer. For starters, our city has maintained a good financial position, even in unfavorable economic times. We have demonstrated a history of having very robust financial controls and conservative budgeting. which has resulted in receiving very enviable bond ratings for general obligation bonds. Our ratings affect the interest rates on the issuance of debt, meaning the interest we pay on the debt being issued is at the lowest rate possible, saving the city considerable amounts of money over the course of the issuance. Fitch, a rating company, has the city rated at AAA, and Moody's, also a rating company, has us rated at AA1. Funding sources to pay for our city's needs include the issuance of debt through bonds, hotel motel taxes, the general fund, utility operating funds, oil and gas revenues, community development block grants, CDBG, partnering with the county, MDC, Texas Department of Transportation, and developers, stormwater drainage fees, impact fees, and when appropriate, we can also seek out and partner with the private sector, i.e. Pioneer Natural Resources, with upgrades to the water treatment plant and with the many foundations and local businesses, all which made the downtown Centennial Park a reality. And lastly, a future council could call for another significant bond election, making their case to the citizens and letting Midlanders decide, based on the merits, if the ask is warranted or needed. City of Midland Bond Project Status. Project Name. 1. Green Tree Boulevard. Status. Completed in 2018. 2. Cuthbert Avenue. Completed in 2018. 3. Taylor Avenue. Completed in 2018. 4. Hicks Avenue. Completed in 2018. 5. Wood Drive. Completed in 2019. 6. Oriole Drive. Completed in 2019. 7. Cuthbert Avenue. Completed in 2019. 8. Louisiana Avenue. Completed in 2019. 9. Michigan Avenue. Completed in 2019. 10. Texas Avenue. Completed in 2019. 11. Bankhead Highway. Completed in 2020. 12. Carter Avenue. Completed in 2020. 13. Bluebird Lane. Completed in 2020. 14. Tarleton Street. Completed in 2020. 15. Whittle Way. Completed in 2020. 16. Sinclair Avenue. Completed in 2021. 17. Annetta Drive. Completed in 2021. 18. Thomason Drive. Under construction. 19. A Street. Downtown. Under construction. 20. Sunglow Street. Under construction. 21. A Street North. Under construction. 22. New York Avenue. Under construction. 23. Solomon Lane. Bidding in 2021. 24. Garfield Avenue. Bidding in 2022. 25. Main Street. Bidding in 2022. 26. Illinois Avenue. Bidding in 2022. City of Midland.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.